grateful you are here with us today on It's a Family Affair. Your host, Raquel, and her guests are here to open your minds and hearts to find acceptance in the family you've been given and the ones you've chosen. Through conversations of inspiration, doubt, perseverance, and fear, we all learn to appreciate and find peace in the family dynamic. Let's talk.
And so we're excited to have Shane with us because today Shane is going to share some of his personal life with us, and we're going to share about his personal relationship with his life partner, Tim Eberle. So, Shane, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us today.
Hey, Raquel. Thanks for having me. It's going to be fun times.
Yeah, of course, of course. You know, we're great friends, and we're always having these wonderful conversations that we could talk for hours, but I'm really happy to bring you to the audience so they can listen in and get some of the insight and the inspiration that you have to share. Because, you know, you are a public figure and you've done a lot of great things within the community, but it takes a whole different space to come in and speak about your personal life and your personal family. So I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you so much. I've been doing my best to kind of step out from behind the curtain, so to speak, and kind of tell my story and give my perspective from like 40 years of ins and outs and ups and downs and all around. So I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, awesome. So, I mean, let's just kick it off. Tell us a little bit about you and Tim, about your fiancé, Tim.
Well, where do I start? We've been together for about coming up on 18 years next February. We're just about to get married this summer in August. We met at a gay dance about 19 years ago. And I was one of those situations where you just look across the room, you notice that person, and you instantly kind of know. And there's a really funny story actually to do with this that I'm actually going to tell right now. Not many people know this. Not many people know the story, but I'm going to let it all out here on Raquel's show.
Lay it on us.
Don't worry, it's PG. So we met at this dance, and Tim and I had a dance, and we were sitting across the table from each other, and he had asked me for my ID, and at the particular time I was 23 years old, and so I handed him my ID, and he couldn't believe that I was 23 years old, and I was there with a friend, and so we had a great time then, and he ended up leaving and going to a party afterwards. And then through mutual friends, he ended up at another party at my house, and we had conversations, and then we decided to develop a relationship, but not any time during that did I ever ask him how old he was, because I assumed because he was in the dance that he was my age. Although he has great genes in his family, and so he looks great, and he does look younger than me. However, I found out that he was 17 years old.
Oh my goodness.
And I was 23, so I began to freak out. And so I had started to move into this relationship with him, and I started to develop deep feelings for him. We would talk on the phone all night, and it was just a crazy connection, and we seen eye to eye and like so many things, and it just spiraled out there. And so I ended up calling the police station. And I asked the police station if it was legal for a 23-year-old to to be dating a 17-year-old. And I did find out something that was kind of unfortunate. Fortunate for me, but unfortunate for others. And I'm not sure if the law is the same or if anything changed since then. But it's actually 14 years old. And so I was relieved because obviously he wasn't 14 years old, but I was, thought that was really weird. But besides that,
really
anyway, we have 6 years difference, and intellectually, not really. 6 years difference, even back then. Tim's a very smart, dynamic person, and so it worked very well. And here we are 18 years later, through many of the trials and tribulations and adversity that normal, quote-unquote, couples may have faced, but a whole nother set of adversity that, quote-unquote, normal and or straight couples may not have faced. With family, inside and out. So, it's been interesting.
So let's talk about that because, you know me, I've had my own relationships, you know, and I'm like, I am always so fascinated when people really commit, and sometimes they do it through marriage, and then they say, oh, okay, I'm married, and so that's what, you know, I'm going to commit to, and I made this commitment, yada, yada. But, you know, I love, you all have been together for 10 years, no formal marriage, but you seriously just chose to make one another family. So that's definition, you know, that to me it is part of the evolution of family and how we choose that family.
Yes.
So that's, yeah, I mean, I would love to hear you talk about, like, a little bit just about that 18 years of you all just being committed.
Well, Tim and I are, thank you for choosing that word, actually. Committed. Committed is the word. Because love is all things, right? Love isn't always sunshine and rainbows. You know, sometimes love brings up everything unlike itself in order for us to grow and to heal. And I think part of our purpose in experience is to grow as people and become, you know, higher vibrational and stronger the more we go along this life journey, right? I'm not in any way, shape, or form like a professional spiritual teacher, but I just believe that, like, personally, I'm on this path for growth. And so, again, thank you for using the term commitment, because we have been committed to one another through whatever has happened. And through that, we are aware of who each other is within it. And even though we may be in conflict, and even though we may not see eye to eye, we always are there for each other as family, and to love one another and to support one another. Because in our unique situation, we don't necessarily have the same, because we're gay, because we're LGBT, we are self-identified, I guess, as different, right? And we do feel different, and our upbringing has been different. And when we came out of the closet, things were different for us in our family dynamics as well as in public, right? And it hasn't been until the last 10 years that gay marriage or LGBT marriage has been legal even in Canada, right? And so before that, we were always seen as something different. And even in the process of our marriage now, not our marriage, but our march to the wedding day, right? there has been adversity that normal and or straight couples, I hate to use the word normal, that just keeps popping into my head, but I don't believe in such things as normal. But so identifying as an LGBT person, the first step in our planning of our wedding was we wanted to get married in a church in a little town next to us that was beautiful. Both of us were raised Christian. At this particular point, we don't identify as Christian, but we were raised in Christian principles, right? And so to be married in a Christian church wasn't that far-fetched for us, right? And so we wanted to be married in an Anglican church here in just outside of Port Barry, just outside of where I live. You wouldn't know where that is. It's called Port Hope. But anyways, we were denied. So that's just one kind of, I don't want to get into that kind of darkness of it, because we want to talk more about what sustains us in our relationship and how we define ourselves as family. But
let's talk
through
about
things
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Let's talk about that, because of course, you know, there's the center ring of who we are, and I do believe that's our beloved, and at times it's our children. And then there's the exterior rings, you know, parents, then there's the cousins and families. So when we come back, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the perception and your perspective of growing up LGBT and how this relationship manifested and the impacts it had on your outer rings of your family. So you guys, we're listening to It's a Family Affair, and we are here with Awesome Shane Travis. And so when we come back, we are going to talk about those dynamics and the impacts of his family. We'll see you in just a minute.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me. We want to welcome you with open arms to our family, to our tribe. We know that there are many ups and downs with family. Raquel Benavides' Facebook page, It's a Family Affair, offers encouragement, laughter, and solid advice as we all go through this process we call family. Come hang out. Share your story. You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Family Affair with me, Raquel Benavides. And our guest today is Shane Travis, and we are discussing the evolution of family and navigating a changing dynamic. And so, Shane, we were just discussing, you know, your family. You've been in a 18-year relationship with your fiancé, Tim Eberle, and you guys are now going in to be able to have a formal ceremony. You've decided to go ahead and take that step and to celebrate that. And I wanted you to kind of expand on your perspective of growing up LGBT and the impact to have of your family, because what I see in you is the strength in you and Tim that has truly helped navigate that. But share with us a little bit about that adversity and when, you know, bringing your family in, coming out, what it looks like, how you shared this commitment and this with Tim.
Well, the thing about it is, fast forward to when I came out and then rewind, come back to now, we're kind of experiencing the same things in the process of our walk towards marriage. But I'll start with when I came out. And when I came out, wasn't sunshine and rainbows. I came out when I was 17 years old, had been through a history of child abuse and been sexually abused, and have a heroin addict father, and, you know, a mother trying to navigate all of that as well as herself, amongst being a victim of abuse as well, okay? And so it wasn't the greatest foundation alone, and then coming out on top of that was extra struggle in a time when it was actually still considered, you know, unacceptable. There were no laws protecting LGBT people. When I went to my principal at school because I was being bullied and beaten up because of it, he said, "So what are you? And if you are, then they have a reason to be doing that." And then when I actually formally came out to my mother actually hung up the phone on me. And so that, I'm glad that I had come through what I had come through and that I had had a life of adversity at which I was able to recover from. At that particular point, I had just come out of a mental institution for trying to kill myself. And so I just, and not trying to brush that off and or take it lightly, but we're in a 30-minute show and I've got a lifetime of stuff to talk about. So we're going to put that on the back burner. But this to paint the picture was around the time when I came out. Okay. And so long story short, it wasn't a warm welcome. And it was a long road to recovery between me and my family and the acceptance of that. One of the people in my life who was extremely accepting from the very beginning was my grandmother, who's no longer with us. And so I think that when you have support, even if it's just that one person in your family, that you hold on to that, and that kind of gives you the strength, it kind of fuels the flame for you to keep on moving on and keep on going. And then when you find, quote unquote, the love of your life, like I did at 23 years old, that also helps. And having a partner, an LGBT gay partner together, really gives you even that more fuel and or strength to survive any sort of adversity that's going on outside of your family or within your family. And so the interesting part of that is then once you become a couple, there's a whole nother set of dynamics that happens within your family because, you know, not everyone has the same perspective, even within families, right? And so when you're being introduced to the new family and you're now a gay couple in a time when it's just climbing to become, you know, acceptable within society, it's quite the struggle because you have people who are dealing with their own struggles of the topic of your sexuality. And then you are dealing with what's going on outside. And then you're also dealing with the public. And your family and your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your cousins, anybody is also dealing with the outside adversity that they're experiencing. So everybody is dealing with this in a multifaceted sort of way. And so it can become really challenging to navigate yourself and navigate your emotions amongst people who are trying to navigate the same and come to terms with and deal with it while you're coming to terms with it and dealing with it. And so to have a partner through that all was so important for both of us because we both knew what perspective we were experiencing things from, right? Because we are both gay men, right? And we could relate to each other. And we had made a commitment to be with each other only because I also know within the gay community that there are, and within every community, there are a multifaceted number of different types of relationships. And within the gay community, it's more predominant, for lack of a better word, non-monogamy or not monogamy. And so at that particular point, we had chosen that path. And within a community of people who are dealing with like all of this stuff, the outside stuff, along with the inside stuff that you're dealing with and navigating yourself being a homosexual man or an LGBT person, along with the regular, trials and tribulations and adversity of life is really tough. And sometimes people just break down. And so not only they break down individually, but they break down and they can't survive a relationship because there's too many external and internal issues to be able to deal with, let alone show up in a constructive, positive way in a relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people just deal with those different dynamics. And like what I'm hearing you say and the outside influence of family and, you know, dealing with that, dealing with their projections, what they deem to be normal or programmed or their belief systems, a lot of that happens within couples anyways. It's like this, you know, like being LGBT, it adds like just a different dynamic, a different layer.
Yes, absolutely.
But someone may be dealing it with, bicultural family, there's all sorts of different things that people deal with and acceptance. Sometimes it's class. Sometimes people are saying, oh, you're marrying out of your class, or he's too poor for you, she's too rich for you, da-da-da. Sometimes the families don't accept it based on that, based on color, based on sexuality. There's all these different things. So tell
you're
me.
You're absolutely right, Raquel. To speak on that, not just to do with me being LGBT, but we're going to go to Tim's parents who are from rural Newfoundland, which is like as far east as you can go in Canada. And we'll go back to the 1950s where there was a dynamic of this side of the community is Catholic and this side of the community is Anglican. And if you marry, if you try and talk to or be in a relationship with an Anglican and you're Catholic, like it was just as bad. Like
religion.
It sounded like from the stories that I hear from his parents, it was worse than even what's going on with the adversity that Tim and I are had experienced previously and are experiencing less of now.
Right.
Right now, bringing religion into the mix, the only challenge that I'm having now, my mom is great. Tim's family is absolutely amazing. My brother has come around. Everyone has come around into this space where, you know, things, and that no longer is an issue. My nieces and nephew have all grown up, and Tim's nieces and nephew have all grown up as seeing us as just part of the dynamic. And so it's normal to them. However, on the other side of my family, the extreme Pentecostal Christians still have a hard time with me and with me identifying as LGBT and with the process at which I'm going through to be married. And so all that started to come up again because it was kind of silent and they said they accepted me and loved me for who I am. But as soon as I started to walk down the marriage road, which under their faith, they believe is between a man, quote unquote, and a woman, our relationship started to become tarnished and their real feelings started to come out. And so there's now that we've chosen to become married, a whole nother set of challenges and adversity that we're working through. And because I've been through what I've been through, not only being LGBT, but also coming from surviving sexual abuse and physical abuse and mental abuse and my father being a drug addict and so on and so forth, I have a I hesitate to use the term thicker skin, but I've grown a lot. And mm-hmm. so I take it less personally than I would have, say, 10, 15 years ago, right? And so mm-hmm. I understand mm-hmm. it's just from, you know, lack of knowledge and from a personal judgment, and then it's not, and then it's them in their rigidity of not wanting to accept and love everyone for being who they are that's projecting mm-hmm. that on me because of their fear. So I recognize mm-hmm. that it's not about me anymore. Now, rewind 15 years ago, I would have been a mess, right? I would have taken mm-hmm. it up. I would have cut myself, right? I would have taken pills.
Well, and most of us too, like our first circle of acceptance is our mother, our father, our aunts, our uncles, our grandparents. It's our first engagement with us accepting who we are. And so
yes.
if that's not strong, it's very difficult. What I'm really hearing, like one thing I'm hearing, Shane, over is that, like, a couple of things, you know, your perseverance to be who you are is one thing. Like, I can't encourage our listeners enough. If you're listening to Shane right now and you're listening to his stories, one of the things that he and Tim had to do over and over and over again was recognize that their love and commitment to one another was a priority. So that is in every dynamic, guys. And we're changing this. We're shifting this. We do have the tendency to label ourselves, you know, we label ourselves, you know, as family. We have labels. We have all these different identities. But Kim and Shane, you, the two of you were obviously family way before you were husband and husband, right? Would you
yes.
agree?
Yes. It was an immediate thing. Like I said, when
yes.
I seen him across the room, it was an immediate knowing
mm-hmm.
that person in some way, shape, or form was going to be an important part of my life. It was just like, if you've seen it, they film these scenes in movies on a regular basis. It's just like you just look and the music kind of stops and you kind of stop. Like everyone in the room kind of fades away. It really was that type
mm-hmm.
of experience, right? And
mm-hmm.
So yeah, immediately it was family. And so that's our commitment to each other. And although we don't have children, we have two fur babies or dogs. And so
sure.
we've actually had to navigate how we are as parents and parenting through fur
yeah.
babies and dogs, right? So we've had
mm-hmm.
that kind of experience as well. And we've had lots of conversations about having children and how we would be as parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we will not make commitments unless we are both all in together. That's another thing,
mm-hmm.
right? So
yeah.
our relationship is a series of conscious conversations where we come to the understanding that we are both in this together and we do not move forward with anything until we are. So Tim and I have
mm-hmm.
been navigating our own individual businesses for a number of years now, me with VividLife.me. And before that I had a marketing and events company and Tim with his salon and his
mm-hmm.
hairstyling career. And so although we've been intertwined somewhat and I help him with his business and he helps me with my business, we've actually now decided to commit to the next level. And Tim and I are now going into business together with a
yeah.
separate business besides what we're already doing. And so
mm-hmm.
we're going to take our 17 and a half to 18 years of relationship experience and apply that now on a different dynamic to start a company and business together. So we're always
mm-hmm.
moving in a direction of growing ourselves and growing our relationship
yeah.
you know, outside of the adversity that we face, because we're both in a position now where we're stronger adults and we don't take the outside noise personal and we keep moving
mm-hmm.
in the direction of our goals and our dreams and our commitment to each other, regardless of what's coming on outside of us. Right. Just
yeah.
think of us as
yeah.
like an armored car walking down the road and people can throw whatever they want at us. And it's just becoming and the bullets are becoming rubber and we're getting to a place where it's bouncing off of us.
Yeah.
And although
exactly,
we're not superhuman
exactly.
at times, we do still take things personally. Right. But we practice something called conscious action versus reaction, whereas we bring it in, we identify it. And before we react to it or allow it to take us down, we just, you know, really, really, you know, think about it and really, you know, find within it what it is. And I think that
mm-hmm.
applies to anybody, whether they're LGBT or not. That just
sure.
is specifically what makes me diverse. What
mm-hmm.
makes other people diverse is being redheaded or being Latino or being black or being Chinese
mm-hmm.
or, you know, being left-handed or coming from two different religions or two different countries. There is so much diversity on the planet that I don't always want to pull the LGBT card when it comes to adversity that's happened in my life, because not all of it has been attributed to that. And I don't always want to be pull the queer card, so to speak, and like, you know, just stand up and do car wheels, everyone go, and say, wherever I go, I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay. And you just looked at me in a variety store because you don't like me because I'm gay. I don't want to be, you know what I mean? So,
Well, I think that's one of the main keys. And that's why we, you know, when you and I have discussed this show and sharing these different dynamics, and it's a family affair everywhere from blended families to, you know, same-sex families to multi-generational families to biculture, all these different aspects. One of the things that you and I talked about is we didn't want it to recognize like a traditional family and normal family. So I just want our listeners to know, you know, this is normal. You are normal. You are okay. The family you are creating, whatever circumstances, when you come from a place of love, which is exactly what Shane and Tim did. They came from a place of love, support, and respect for each other, which in turn gave them the courage to be free and just create a family dynamic that worked for them. So, Shane, thank you so much for being with us. It's been great, and you and I could definitely chit-chat for hours.
Yeah, absolutely.
If any of you would like, I know we could. So if any of you would like to connect with Shane, you can always connect through Vivid Life, me, and always through Vivid Life Radio. We're always here. If you have any questions you want to throw at him or anything follow-up, you can also connect with us at It's a Family Affair on our Facebook page, and we'd love to hear from you. Any insights you'd like to share with us, it would be great. So, Shane, I appreciate you so much. I do appreciate you as a friend, and now as a guest on the show and being courageous enough to share your family and to encourage others to do the same. So,
thank you so much for allowing me a platform to share my story.
So much love, everyone, and we will see you next week.
Much gratitude and appreciation for sharing this time with us today on It's a Family Affair with Raquel. Take time this week to fill your own family in love and acceptance, and remember to take care of you. You can't give what you don't have. If you'd like to connect with Raquel, just reach out on It's a Family Affair Facebook page. Until next week, much love always.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.